had intended to be here on Sunday last week until about 5 or 6 o'clock that night on Saturday, the night before. But I did get to share. I'm so thankful that God gave me that idea about how, being able to share on the video screen, and thank you for Tom and Jason and getting that put together so that I could still share with you guys last weekend the vision that God has given Friendship Church, and that is being transformed, moving in unity, reaching our communities. And so I hope you got a handle on that last week as I shared that from the video screen. As I was journaling this week, God brought some things to my attention that that deepened my understanding of the word that he even gave me last week about our vision statement. And one of those things is regarding reaching out. He said this to me. He said, we reach out in order to reach people that haven't yet made Jesus the Lord and Savior of their lives yet. That's why we reach out. Outreach isn't just to show people his love for them, but to show the end result of his love for them. And that is salvation. That's why we do outreaches. That's why we reach out to the community. So that somebody else can come to know Jesus. So that somebody else doesn't have to die not knowing him. So that someone else can make Jesus Christ the Lord of their lives. And that begins the process of transformation in their lives. But God begins to clean out the stuff that's happened in their lives, begins to clean them out. It leads them to, hopefully, to a place of unity in the body of Christ, where we all meet together. We come together and meet together in unity. And then gives them a heart also to want to reach out and grab more people and compel them to come into God's house. Amen? We all need that. And the circle begins again for somebody else. So that's one thing you showed me. The other thing was in being transformed. While God transforms us here on earth multiple times as we walk with him, he transforms us. He puts us in that cocoon stage, meaning that we would never be who we were before. He doesn't leave us as a caterpillar. He wants to transform us into his image, make us look more like a butterfly. And he continues to do that throughout time. But there's a time, guys, when all of us, if we're walking with the Lord, are going to experience complete transformation. Complete transformation. And that means when the perishable, our flesh, has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then we will experience complete transformation. But yet we are to encourage one another with these words. So those are the two things that he showed me this week. And I believe he's going to continue to deepen that for each one of us and for us as a whole. What is the vision statement for each one of us individually? What does that mean for us? How is it that we are to work together? How is it that God wants us to transform us? And how is it that God wants to move us out of the four walls of this place so that we can reach somebody else for Jesus? Amen. So last year, I started talking about spiritual disciplines. God had us begin the year by talking about how can we grow closer to the Lord? How can we look more like Jesus? That's the goal. We want to look more like Jesus as time goes on. The more that we spend time with him, the more we want to look like him. The more we want to be like him, the more we want to be like Jesus to those around us. And so we started out talking about that, and then we ended with, actually it's about half the year, we talked about the book of Ephesians. And we talked about who it is that God says that he is, and who it is that God says that we are, in light of that. And then, how now shall we live? That we would no longer live as the Gentiles or as the Americans do today. That we would live as he wants us to live. But all of that had to do with Ephesians chapter 4, where it says that we need to get equipped. We need to get equipped, and we do that together in the church. And so as I was seeking God about what to focus on in 2024, he was just stirring my heart for one particular topic. One particular topic, and that is prayer. That is prayer. Jesus himself went to the temple, and after turning over the money changers and the tables and all that stuff and all the things that were happening there that were distracting from what it is that they were supposed to be doing, he said this, "It is written, my house will be called a house of prayer." He's quoting from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah 56 and verse 7, where God says through the prophet, "My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." I want to ask you guys today, does Friendship Church look like a house of prayer? Does it look like a house of prayer? I mean, we have two prayer services a week. We have our midweek prayer, and we have our Sunday morning pre-service prayer. And we pray during our regular service here. Does that make us a house of prayer? Does that make us a house of prayer? Well, it's a good start, I think. And yet Jesus declares this over his house, that his house is to be called a house of prayer. That is what it's meant to be. What makes a house of prayer a house of prayer? Not some sign on the wall that says, this is a house of prayer. Right? But it begins with us. It begins with us. No judgment here. But let's be honest. How much time do you spend in prayer? As needed? A few times. Nobody raise their hand. Nobody say anything. Just this, your own question. Think about it amongst yourself. Your one self. A few times a week? Every day? Guys, I pray every day, and I still need transformation in this area of my life. I still need transformation in it. We've talked about prayer as being a spiritual discipline. We've talked about prayer as praying something that we're supposed to do on all occasions. We pray in the Spirit, it says in Ephesians 6, praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. But prayer is not just a topic to talk about in the church. It's not just something that we discuss one time or another. Rather, it is meant to be the culture of the church and the lifestyle of every follower of Jesus Christ. Every follower of Jesus Christ. Pastor Rick DeBose, in his book called In Jesus' Name, he said this: we have made too little of prayer. Sure, we have made it a discipline, a personal practice, a matter of habit, but we have not fully realized how much prayer changes things. So much depends on prayer. So much has been given to us through prayer. Think about that. Not just the prayers that you pray, but the prayers that others pray for you as well. It's like the Word of God, Ron. Each time we read it, God deepens our understanding of what his word says. He gives us a greater understanding, greater meaning, greater revelation. Because why? Because it's the living word. It's the living word. I heard a gentleman say this recently. He said, the Bible is the only book with a heartbeat. It's the only book with a heartbeat. That's the Bible. The same with prayer. Prayer is an active line of communication with our Lord. It brings us into his throne room. When we pray, we're not just praying prayers to heaven. When we pray, we are in the throne room. We're petitioning the Lord. We're petitioning the Lord for things. Just because we have prayed or do pray doesn't mean that we have a lifestyle of prayer. There's much more than just offering a prayer up every now and then or at every meal. And while we don't see it all the time when we pray, there is so much that changes as a result of our prayers. We don't see it all the time. Maybe we don't see it at all in the sight of eternity. But every prayer that we pray, God answers. Every single one. There's not a single one that misses him. Revelation talks about that there's stewards of heaven that stand there with these golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of God's saints. There's not a single one that doesn't make it in the bowl. There's not a single one that he doesn't answer. Prayer is aligned with the vision that he has given Friendship Church. Prayer brings transformation in our lives and in the lives of others as we pray for them. Praying together helps us to move in unity as we pray together for the same things. And prayer for the community flows from a burden, as all of us who are saved know, from a burden to see lives transformed, people's lives changed, set free, delivered, and walking in freedom. It flows from that heart that increases that God-given desire to reach out. To reach out. I'm growing in my own understanding of prayer. But I've seen God bring transformation in my life and in other people's lives too, as I pray for them. There's so much more to prayer than you and I realize. And my hope is that God would set a fire in your hearts for prayer. That God would give you an intensity, an immeasurability. Immensity, that's the word I was looking for. An immensity. High octane, yes. An immensity of what prayer can accomplish because of the one that you pray to. Because prayer is just talking to the Lord. And that we would gain a hunger for wanting to spend regular time in prayer, both privately and together, publicly. Now some may ask, why is prayer so important? Well, Oswald Chambers says it this way. He says that prayer doesn't fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. It is the greater work. Sometimes, I've heard myself say this as well. Sometimes people say, well, all we can do is pray. No. That is the best thing that we can do. That is the best thing that we can do. Rick DeBose says that prayer is our way forward into all things. There's our way forward into all things. Before we begin to do the work for the Lord, we come before him in prayer. We set ourselves before him, and we seek his face. So each week, for however long that this is going to go on here, Holy Spirit lead us, we're going to learn about how to pray, and then we're going to take time to pray together. This is participation church at Friendship. You don't just come to enjoy a nice service. You come here to be the part of the body that God's called you to be. One part of the body can't do the work of all the parts of the body. And we saw that in operation this morning. Praise God for that. The parts of the body, we're firing in all cylinders. Keith, high octane. Thank you, Lord. But God has a place and a purpose that he wants us all to live out. And we get equipped as each of us live out the callings and the giftings that God has placed in each one of us. And if you're not a believer today, if you're not a follower of Christ, that's okay. You're meant to be here as well. You're meant to be here as well. There is a real God who really loves you and really wants to talk to you and talk with you. And so us talking about prayer is God's way of letting you know that. Letting you know that. So I just encourage you guys to continue to come each week and listen in. All right. Let's get into the Word. Let's get into the Word. If you open to Matthew chapter 6 today. Matthew chapter 6. It's the first book in the New Testament. The first of the four Gospels. And in Matthew chapter 6, it takes place in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, the famous Sermon on the Mount. And what that is basically it's just the main teachings of Jesus giving us a fuller revelation of what the Old Testament told us. All delivered in one sermon. And so if you're at Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 5. If you're there, say, I'm there. If you're ready, say, let's go. All right. Verse 5, and when you pray, not if, but when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, again, when, not if, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Let's read this together. Whatever translation, doesn't matter. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. God, I pray that as it is the living word, I pray that it would become living in our lives. Lord, that you would speak into each heart that is here, including my own, Lord. God, would you reveal what you want to reveal? Would you touch and would you remove that which you need to remove from each of our hearts, Lord? And may we receive today what you want us to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The title of this message, or maybe the series, is Teach Us to Pray. Teach Us to Pray. And so before Jesus gets to what we call the Lord's Prayer, he gives us some instructions. Now, those are things that possibly that Jesus perceived that people were observing at this time. Things that were happening, as he flipped over the money changers and the tables in the temple court, that there was something that he was noticing and he needed to bring a knowledge or bring an understanding of this to us. And so as Jesus starts talking about prayer in this way, before he gets to this is how we should pray, that's what we're going to start talking about too in this series. So the first thing he talks about today is don't pray to be seen by others. Don't pray to be seen by others. In other words, we need to ask ourselves, what's the motive of our heart? When we come to prayer, what's the motive of our heart? Why is it that we pray for the things that we do? Why is it that we maybe enjoy praying out loud in a corporate setting? James says this in James chapter 4. He says that we have not because we ask not. But then he says, when we ask, we don't receive because why? We ask with the wrong motives, yes. That we may, he says, that we may spend what we get on our pleasures. On our pleasures. Okay? So Jesus is saying that it's not good to pray like this. If this is the motive of our hearts when we're praying together, if that's the motive of our hearts, then it's not good to do it that way. What he's not saying is that corporate prayer or public prayer is bad. It's not that. In fact, there's lots of places in the Bible where it talks about public prayer. Okay? We need to have the scriptures to interpret the scriptures. Okay? If we take one verse and just read this one verse, we can take that to mean anything that we want it to mean. We need all the rest of the Bible in order to understand what the Bible says. And so Acts 4 and 24, here's an example of it. Peter and John are at the Sanhedrin, or Sanhedrin, however you say it, and they're being told to no longer preach in Jesus' name, and then they're kicked out. And so then the Peter and John go back to all the other believers and they tell them this is what happened. And this is what it says in Acts 4 and verse 24. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. They raised their voices together in prayer to God. So praying out loud for all to hear is good. Kind of like Buddy the Elf, right? Singing loud for all to hear is the best way to spread Christmas cheer. Let me tell you, that's not the best way to spread Christmas cheer. Yeah. The best way to spread Christmas cheer is to talk about him. This is when Jesus came to be born on this earth and to die for you so that you could have eternal life with him. That's the best way to spread Christmas cheer. Amen? Yes. But praying out loud for others to hear is good so that we can agree with one another in prayer. And Jesus also said this, for where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is. He is there with them. I think about when Jesus died and then he rose again from the dead, and for 40 days he walked around giving people many convincing proofs that he was alive. And those times, there's multiple times, I believe, that he showed up even during those 40 days when there's people that are praying, and all of a sudden Jesus is there with them, and he says, peace be with you. Right? Peace be with you. I just think about that. Just think about like a huddle of people that are praying, and all of a sudden, zoom, peace be with you. All right, Jesus is praying with us right now. He's here with us. Yeah, yep. So praying out loud is good. And having other people agree with you in prayer is good. But the heart check is when the motive for praying aloud is selfish, to be seen by others. Then Jesus says it shouldn't be done, at least not there. Instead, he says it should be done in the secret place. When you pray, Go into your room, Jesus says, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. May the motives of our prayers be to truly spend time with our Heavenly Father, rather than to puff ourselves up in front of somebody else. I got a dad joke book for Christmas. You want to see an apple puff? Chase it around the garden. It's a dad joke. Sorry. Puff. Got it? Okay. Yeah. You may hear a few more of those. We'll see. Private prayer is so important. Because for one, in private prayer, you aren't tempted to put on a show for anybody else. Am I right? When you go to private prayer, you're actually doing it because you want to do it. You want to spend time with God. That's a test of our hearts. To see if prayer is something that we really value. Pastor Rick DeVos talked about that too. He said that we can see things that are valuable, but it doesn't mean that we value them. I can see that a Ferrari or a Lamborghini or a Lotus is a valuable car. But am I saving my money for that? I don't value that. That doesn't matter to me. Rick DeVos says in his book, In Jesus' Name Too, he said that he can't tell you one church that doesn't say that prayer is important. But he can tell you a lot of churches that don't spend time praying together. There's a difference between something that has value to something that we value ourselves. Jesus says, in the secret place, when we pray in the secret place, that is where our Father rewards us. Our Father rewards us. He says that those that pray in public to be seen by others, they receive their reward in full in that moment. It just lasts that moment, right? But when we go to pray in secret, then our Heavenly Father rewards us with those good and pleasing things that come down from our Father of the heavenly lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. But I would venture to say that most of us probably say that are intimidated about corporate prayer. We don't like to pray in public necessarily, right? And so I want you to see that this is not just a warning for those who do pray to be seen, but also for the rest of us that would say, I want to be like them. No. We're not to aspire to how other people pray. We're to aspire to pray from what's in our heart. Amen? And so, getting back to our public prayer speaking, or praying, it's good to pray in public because it builds our confidence. It builds our confidence. We learn how to pray out loud as we do it. Brian, you didn't wake up one day and say, I know how to drive a semi-truck right now. Take some practice. You had to take a test to make sure that you could actually drive one of those big rigs. You know? Just like that for everything else that we do. You may not think that you pray good in public or you don't know how to do it. But how do you practice except for by doing it? Yes. And this is a place to practice. So that was his first thing he said. Jesus said, don't pray to be seen. The second thing he says, don't keep on babbling in your prayers. He says it's like the pagans do. I think of Elijah on Mount Carmel with the 450 prophets of Baal. Right? And what do? They begin to pray. The 450 prophets of Baal begin to pray, and they pray, and they pray, and they pray, and Elijah's just sitting there watching them. All right. Yeah, he did. They did. Yep. And he said, maybe you need to pray louder. Maybe you need to pray more. Maybe your God is relieving himself. Can you imagine just Elijah saying that to these guys? You know, you just need to wait till he comes back from the facilities. Then he'll answer your prayer. What does Elijah do? After they spend all day babbling on like the pagans, Elijah repairs the altar of the Lord. And he prays a simple prayer. And fire falls from heaven and consumes that altar and everything on it and all the water that he poured over top of it. And what do the people say? The Lord, he is God. They didn't see Elijah in that. They saw that the Lord is God, not praying to be seen by others. So do we pray on and on and on? Do we do that? Do we keep babbling like the pagans do? That's a test of the heart as well. We look at somebody maybe that we would consider to be a prayer warrior, and we're like, oh, if I could only just pray like them, if I could just pray like them, you know, then I would be a prayer warrior. Or I'm not worthy. I can't pray like that. Right? What did Elijah do? It's a simple little prayer. Show the people today who is God. Boom. Okay? We don't get heard because we pray on and on and on and on and on. I had a coworker one time. He asked me this question years ago. He said, John, how many times do I have to pray the same prayer for God to answer it? And then he gave me a number. 99 times? I didn't even ask him why the 99. Why was 99 about? You know, I don't know. But that was, like, I think about like Peter asking Jesus, how many times do I got to forgive somebody? 7 times? It's not about the number. Jesus says this in verse 8 there, what we read today in Matthew chapter 6. He says this, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. He already knows what you need. He sees it all. He knows it all. And he wants to teach us that we need to come to him about it. Not try to figure things out on our own, but find out what pleases the Lord. Find out what pleases the Lord. Something I noticed as I read these two warnings that Jesus gives us here. Jesus is talking about others seeing us pray. And he's also talking about being heard in what we pray. Seeing and hearing. Seeing and hearing. If you were here Christmas Eve, or listen to the message, I talked about the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. And after they had heard the angels come and give them the gospel story and that Jesus was born that day, then they went to Bethlehem and they saw Jesus. And afterwards, what did they do? They kept talking about all the things that they had seen and heard, which were just as the angel had said. In Acts chapter 4, the apostles, again before the Sanhedrin, they said that we judge for yourselves what is right. As for us, we cannot stop talking about what we have seen and heard. Here's a point today. Maybe it's my main point. I don't know. I just have point only written down once in my notes. When we pray, especially out loud, people should see and hear Jesus. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit prays through us, that we're to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. When we pray out loud, people should see and hear Jesus. It shouldn't be about us. It should be about him. And God wants us to see. God wants to see us come to him. King David said in the Psalm 27 and verse 8 in the NILT translation, the NLT, he said, my heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Lord, I am coming. God wants to see us come to him. And he wants to hear from us. The Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, God said this through Jeremiah in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Great and mighty things which you know, that word mighty in the Hebrew there, that word mighty also means inaccessible. So think about that. Call to me and I will answer you and I will show you great and things that would otherwise be inaccessible to you. Things that you do not know. How do we use a plasma cutter to get a bolt out of an RV engine? You know? How do I get this electrical wire that I was trying to run through the ceiling yesterday to get, how do I get in there to grab it when it's already all finished? I don't know how to do that, so maybe some of you guys probably do, but I had to figure it out on my own yesterday. Thankfully, I sought the Lord about it. So when we pray, though, God sees us and he hears us. Amen? And when we pray, others should see and hear Jesus praying through us. How many people that we pray in front of, it doesn't matter. The amount of words that we pray don't matter. We don't aspire to be like some other person. We want to be who God made us to be. We want to come to Him in prayer. What's our heart behind prayer? That we would come to our Heavenly Father and that we would communicate with Him. That is what matters in prayer. That's how we come to the Lord in prayer. As we close today, is prayer an area of your life that you see a need for transformation in? I know I do. As you probably know by now, Isaiah had a seizure a week ago Saturday. And as I watched him fall, I ran to him and I grabbed him and I just held him. I held his head in my hand. He was on the ground. I didn't pick him up, but I just held him. I held him there on the ground. And I watched, and I feared the worst as I looked at how he looked. And I thought, was this the last thing I got to say to my son at 15 years old? Yeah, you can go get a refill on your drink. That was the last thing I said. And as I'm sitting there watching him, I began to pray. And I don't just mean pray, guys. I mean pray. I began to pray in tongues over my son. I began to speak scriptures over him as I'm holding him, as I'm watching him change different colors and stop breathing. And just like in that moment, as I prayed, God gave me peace. Like he did when Isaiah was 10 months old and he seizured. Praying in tongues, praying fervently. He gave me peace. And God told me this week, I'm changing your testimony about Isaiah. I'm changing your testimony. God, not look at Kelly. Don't look at Kelly. Okay, I'm good. He said, I'm changing your testimony this week. When Isaiah was 10 months old, he seizured for an hour and a half. He had a febrile seizure because of viral meningitis. The doctor told us no long-term damage. That was my testimony before. God said, I'm changing your testimony this week. This is what he said. Twice the enemy has tried to take your son out, but I have good plans for him. I have good plans for him. Our God has all authority. He has all authority. This is a real battle that we live in, guys. This is real. Our God has all authority. In the book of Job, Satan had to go to God and ask for permission to do what he did to Job. God has all authority. It's Him who gives each one of us life and breath, and everything else is what His Word says. Do you need transformation in your life today? Do you need to be transformed in this area of prayer? Do you want it not just to be a thing that is of value, but something that you value yourself? If that's you today, would you stand with me? And let's pray. Let's pray. As I watched my son worship today, it was a picture of answered prayer. What prayer do you need answered today? I'm going to pray, and then I just want you guys to offer up what is it that you need prayer for. And we want to gather around you. We want to join with you together in prayer today. Father, I thank you so much for what you are doing in this service today. God, I thank you. God, even as that word that you gave, Lord, that you have Isaiah in your hands. And to get excited because you're going to do some amazing things through this, Lord. I thank you that nobody can take us out until our time on earth is done. Because you know every single one of our days. Every single one is known to you before every one of them came to be. So God, we come together today as your people. Your people, Lord. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray for some things. And I pray that you would help people to have boldness to share what it is that they need prayer for today. Humility. Vulnerability. God, it's pretty vulnerable to talk about my son up here like this. I pray that you would encourage others to lift up their prayers to you today as well, God. That we can join together in unity and pray. Pray together in unity today. In Jesus' name.